Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back, After Buzzers. We're here tonight to discuss season 2, episode 5 of The Chi, Feeling the Heat. All right, we're talking Brandon and Emmett. We're talking a little bit of Ronnie. We're talking Kevin and Keisha, all that and more, because we got to get some doodle and some comment. Okay, I'm sorry. Come back, you guys, because it's coming up for you next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz...
Loving the music. And the dance moves. What's up, party people? I am your host, Erica Edwards, but I couldn't do it without my crew. So I will introduce the amazing and lovely Lauren.
Hello, what's up, guys?
And, you know, Chef Beans, no gas for us tonight.
The you beans. Love it, Chef Beans.
Yes,
Vino. The beans. All right, so tonight's episode, Feeling the Heat. Overall, I felt there was somewhat of a lightness to the episode, and Chi in the summer is always amazing and always a great time, so it was fun to see. So I loved it. But what did you guys think overall of this episode?
I really enjoyed the episode. Like you said, it was very light, but there was also a lot of comedy in it, but serious things happened. I felt like a lot of gears shifted in this episode.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I like it, too. I like that it wasn't so much sadness and that we did get a lot of laughter in it. But we also got to figure out some big bosses making big moves in this game. So I liked that, too.
Exactly.
We just keep getting more information.
Yeah, exactly. They're giving us little nuggets, and it's interesting how it's sort of playing out. So let's start off our discussion with Emmett, because I think he's always fun and he's always sort of in the middle. Like, he's not as light as the kids, but he has his own little social issues. But he's basically like, you know, a good guy, baby daddy type person. So we start to see Emmett and Brandon really starting to sort of grow their business together or grow this little partnership that they have going on, which I totally am there for. Although personally for me, it's sort of interesting because I get the impression that Brandon is sort of like right out of college, like early 30s or whatever, so at the latest. And so I'm not quite feeling his total like, oh my God, social media type, you know, spiel that he kind of like is totally out of touch. I was like, he seems like my granddad, but I'm just saying, like, even my dad is a friend of mine on Facebook. But okay, so how are you all feeling? Or, you know, you, Lauren specifically, how do you feel about the Brandon and Emmett sort of the nature of their partnership?
So I'm glad that it's growing. I think last week it was either you or Kitty who mentioned they liked that Emmett brought up social media and they thought that would play a part, and I'm glad it came back full circle.
Exactly, I agree.
I feel like that's definitely going to help his business. And I really like that Brandon is taking on the role of a big brother, kind of mentor to, you know, now Emmett. At first it was Jake. And now it's Emmett. Kevin.
Yeah.
And I just really like that he's helping other people despite everything else that's going on in his life.
Yeah. And how do you feel in the male perspective?
I think it's very cool because they both need each other.
Right.
And I do feel like as far as Brandon being oblivious to social media, I felt like that was a little extra, like, like you at least know what happens on Instagram.
Right, exactly. Like, he killed me. What do you mean follow you back where? I was like, okay.
I feel like that was a little extra, but Brandon has as much business as he can have taken care of, and here comes Emmett with the lightness of it. Like you said, it's not super serious, but he's still not technically an adult. But I like this relationship and everything that they have going on.
Yeah, what I like about their partnership, I think they bring a good balance, because I think fundamentally
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Finally, Brandon is the artist. So he's like the chef. He's coming up with the great food and recipe ideas. But, you know, like he didn't have insurance. So his business sense is not the tightest, yeah. like anyway. You know, and I think in personal life, Jerrica balances him out. But here, Emmett, because Emmett is cool. And I thought the t-shirts were a good choice.
Yeah, that was cute.
But he's more the hustler and the business behind the brand. And I do have a picture of Emmett and Brandon. And this is the point when Brandon is actually telling Emmett, you know, kind of schooling him on like, you know, you could pull out, right?
That was funny.
Well, it seems like Emmett is more of the risk taker, you know, like he has more lightness of him, to him. And Brandon, with everything he's been through, you see he's being more apprehensive to things. But Emmett's like, look, try this, try that. I can see that very overtly.
And Emmett is good with marketing strategies, you know, publicity. So, and he finds out, like he even said, I'm getting hit with all the events in our area, so we just pull up. You know, he's, like you said, he's the go-getter. He's the one making the moves.
Yeah, I think Emmett does a really good job of putting together the pieces of the puzzle when it comes to business moves. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, on a small sort of hustler side, on his side, like he's never trying to really cheat anyone, but he kind of puts the pieces together, which I really, really like. And so Emmett, now what did you guys think about Emmett and his baby mama drama on social media?
Oh my gosh.
That's the thing. When you hit it, you don't know what your baby mama gonna post.
I could not believe she actually posted the real check. I was like, is she stupid? Like, first of all, despite that fact, she put so much everyone's information, her address, his address, the amount. I was just like, okay, you're really dumb. But then for all the other baby mamas to like FaceTime him one after another, I thought that was kind of like, all right, y'all kind of overdid it with that. They're not going to call you back to back. But then whenever they were all like, oh, you need to pay for this one, I was like, actually, that's true. Why are you only paying for one child and not the rest, you know?
What are your thoughts? Before I say what I think, let's get a male perspective, because I don't want all the women to jump in on Emma.
Well, I thought it was funny. Like you said, like he should be taking care of all of his kids, but I can see his phone getting blown up back to back, especially if you've been MIA all this time and you have one of your baby mothers posting that you are actually financially supporting a baby. Everybody else wants a piece of that, but it's just funny and very telling to his age. Like, you know, like he doesn't really have experience with this. He's still focused on his sneakers and having fun doing this and that, but you have other responsibilities, so you gotta take whatever comes with that.
Right, exactly. I agree. And then I think in Emmett's defense, I think he mentioned in earlier episodes that some of the children are out of town. So this Emmett Jr. is the one that's here in Chicago or there in Chicago. But also, I feel like maybe he has, because you know how Emmett gets down, he might have an understanding, because there's always that thin line between taking a brother to court or you working something out with what their situation is. And I think the other baby mamas were kind of like, okay, you know, we working with you, you living at home with your mother, whatever. And Tiffany was the only one that was like, nah, see you in court, dude. And, you know, I kind of think that for her to like rub it in everybody else's face, that absolutely, your phone is getting blown up.
Well, I think that he was a deadbeat to the other ones. I don't think he had any understanding with him. I think he was like out of sight, out of mind. That's what I think.
That might be true. I mean, I don't know.
They don't talk about the other kids, so we don't really know.
Yeah, we don't really know. I would like to think the best of Emmett, but you are absolutely right. He might be like, I'm going to stay focused on my girl.
A lot of times, sometimes they throw the deadbeat dad out of there, but there are women who would rather just take care of the kids by themselves as well. So that could have been a situation kind of like what you said. Maybe they had an agreement. You're still living with your mom, because he hasn't been super, I guess, transparent with the other kids, at least talking about them. So
exactly. And unless you're in court and really breaking that check down, like, he wasn't making that much at Sonny's.
He's not.
So it's like, you know, they probably were like, what's the point, you know? And especially if you're out of state, like, that's a lot.
Yeah. Right. I want to know how much he's even given her, actually, because, like you said, how much is he making at Sonny's?
Exactly. And, you know, so that will be interesting to know. And so we also see a pretty cute scene between Emmett and Jada. So Jada comes home and, you know, there's kind of a lot going on. So we see Jada come home and there's a rose on her door and, you know, with an apology, with the note. And it's so interesting. and she immediately, you know, so she goes to the restaurant and gets dressed up. And it's
her son and not the baby daddy. Yeah. You know, aw. I mean, that's like you were saying, if he would have took it a different route, you know, did what he wanted to do first, then ask for the money. But now, I couldn't believe after he talked to her like that, you saw how excited she was. She got dressed up. She did her hair. She got a new dress. And when she saw Emmett, her face just was like hurt. And I was like, girl, why were you so excited to see this man who asked for money for you? Even some back pay. I was like, why are you getting so excited? Like, was it that good?
It's a very, very simple response to this. And you kind of just said it. It's a couple of things. It's the power of the D. Mm. That's one thing.
She was demotized.
Yes.
You know, she got some cobwebs on there from taking care of her son. You know what would have
been funny? The power of the pipe. That would have been a funny one. But anyways, go ahead.
No, that's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah, you see how excited she got? And then she already admitted to, well, I've been a third wheel before. Mm-hmm. The pressure is kind of getting to her. And if you're used to that old thing, you know it's not going to be no strings attached. A lot of people fear growing because a lot of people would rather have someone in their face than be lonely. You know what I mean? And she's been lonely for all these different years, regardless to how much she's grown.
Exactly. And, you know, and you really saw that when her girlfriend came to visit and she's like, oh, you living your best life. But is she really? You know, she got Emmett out the house, but she hasn't really, you know, she's single and she hasn't really been living that life.
She hasn't dated. She doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't have a life. They don't show any personal side to her at all. So we don't
exactly. And I mean, I think there is feelings there. Like, you know, your ex can say something crazy, but you know.
But dang, after 14 years, they're still there? Well, can't relate.
If you're attracted to somebody, you're attracted to them. And you know, they have that. They have a shared responsibility together. So it just kind of like, she cracked.
Yeah.
She cracked, but she didn't walk into what she thought she was going to walk into.
I know. And then, so we see their sort of dialogue, and you really see Emmett again, like, just being super sweet, and him apologizing for at least what he's done. And he's kind of on the Lauren bandwagon, like, wait, what? You thought it was Darnell? Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that I thought was interesting, and I was sort of surprised, was that Emmett says, okay, promise me you won't date. And that's the picture that I have here where he's like pinky swear. And that's a picture that I have of Jada and Emmett. And it's like pinky swear and promise me you won't, you won't see anybody else.
Yeah.
You won't start dating, which I kind of thought like Emmett is 17. So your parents have been, she's never really dated nobody. Are you really even serious with that? What are your feelings? I was actually surprised by that.
I thought that was selfish of him. I mean, it goes to show his age, like you said.
Yeah.
But my thing is, one, you don't live in the house anymore. Two, you got three baby mamas. How are you going to tell her to, like, control her love life? And then my thing is, you know, some people have the mother and son concept where it's like the mom has to control the son and acts like, treats the son like that's the husband. Right. And I'm like, well, he's kind of pulling her into that role because he's saying, don't date anybody. I'll take care of you. I'll do this. So he's kind of perpetuating that, you know.
Exactly. I definitely felt in this scene, last episode, or maybe the episode before, Darnell made the comment to her, you treating him, maybe if you weren't treating him
like your husband. Yeah.
And definitely here, she thinks that, you know, he's her date, whatever. And just kind of their whole dynamic. At first, she's like, it ain't a date, but then he's still like, don't date nobody.
Exactly.
So he's acting like her husband as well.
He's a mama's boy. Like, he's a mama's boy. And in his headspace, he's like, I'm all the man that you need, because for most of his life, if not all of his life, he's been the only man in her life. So seeing her in that romantic side could just throw him off. And he's actually being more responsible as far as working on a food truck. He's actually feeling more like a man. He's paying child support.
So he's not paying her bills, though.
He's not paying her bills, but I'm saying in his head, he probably feels like, you know, he just took his mom out to eat. He's killing himself. So that's probably why he's like, no, you don't need to date anybody. I got all of this covered.
Yeah, but it's like...
He done got the D covered.
Exactly. You're leaving her miserable and lonely and dusty.
True. She wants the cobwebs dusted off.
Thank you, the dust. The dust. We do not want her to fall victim to the dust. All right, so before we move on to the next topic, Lauren has something amazing to tell you guys.
Yes, I do. I want to thank you guys all for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. AfterBuzz TV could not do this without you guys' support. So we ask that if you're on YouTube right now, comment, like, make sure you comment when the show is over because the comments are not saved. But check us out on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a thumbs up. And like I said, we just want to thank you guys so much. And don't forget to tell your friends and family to catch us here at 9 p.m. every Monday.
Yes, please do, you guys, because it's only getting bigger and better. And we have so much stuff coming up. We have, you know, a special segment, news and gossip. We have some big news for... I gotta just save it. So save it till the end, you guys. All right. So let's talk about Kevin and Keisha and how they both were dealing differently with the death of their father. And the whole funeral and all of that. It was really interesting to see Keisha is so about her dad and Kevin. And I feel like they still haven't given us enough. Like, yeah. I don't really know what happened to make Kevin not want to go... see his father. The whole dynamic I felt wasn't quite fleshed out.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see. This is the first time, well, not the first time. I mean, a couple times I think Keisha has kind of made some little sharp remarks, but this is the first sort of crack I think we've really seen in their relationship. What did the commenters say? What do y'all say in that live chat? What did Venus say? I was about to really say that.
She is just a comment about everything, but she said congrats, so thank you. But yes, Keisha. So I agree with you, first of all. I don't have enough backstory about the father to really feel anything. Like, who is he? Why did he leave? How long ago did he leave? You know, I just feel like we don't have enough information about him or what went on between him and the mother. Because even... the dad's sister said, how dare you bring your bee here?
Yeah, because it seemed like their mother left the father for her female relationship.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like. But it was still unclear to me. I get the anger there. Mm-hmm. But as you were saying, I don't think they fleshed out enough. I think at one point Kevin was saying either, I believe, to Brandon or to his friends about how, you know... his father never forgave the mother. Mm-hmm. And his father started a new family that he didn't really want to be a part of. But there were kind of like lines that were squeezed in there kind of quickly. So I'm still kind of up in the air. But what are your thoughts, Chef?
If I can make a guess, because Keisha and Kevin are maybe about, what, 3 years apart?
I think more, like 5. Because she's in high school and he's in like middle school.
I hope so, because she straight gets her freak on. No. I'm hoping she's a little bit older. Yeah,
she might be like 17. I think she's wishing 17. Because yeah, Emmett's like 17, 18. Yeah. Okay, so I think she's 17 and he's like 14.
17, 14. I can see her having maybe a stronger relationship with the father if it's like that gap when she's 5 and Kevin's a couple months old.
Right.
So
that's true.
Maybe by the time the downfall of the parents' relationship was happening, Kevin doesn't even remember that relationship with his father, and that's why he's so detached, to where Keisha may have remembered maybe some walks in a park or different things like that. But you can just see just the emotions that are fleshed out during a funeral. Kevin's not even 100% present.
Exactly, which is the picture that we have for you here, where it's like Keisha is crying and Kevin is actually very like stoic and just not showing, at this point, not showing any emotion. So the way that they both have dealt with their father's death has been polar opposites. Kevin is sort of, you know, at the pool with his friends, not really doing anything, kind of lethargic. And Keisha is just totally upset and actually you know, showing out with her mom. Like, that was crazy. And I think also the argument with the mom was kind of starting to sort of give us some backstory, I felt like, is why I was really in there. Mm-hmm. When she was kind of arguing with her mom to explain, oh, well, you know, wasn't he the love of your life or your first love or whatever. Yeah. How did you all feel about the scene with Keisha and Emmett? So she's so upset that she's like, okay, let me hide my pain by getting laid.
I was very surprised and proud at Emmett's response.
Right.
Because I thought he was just going to go for it. And I mean, okay, this I'm gonna talk about both. If Keisha really wanted to have sex and he said, I'm not filling this picture, why didn't she just put the picture down? Like, why didn't she just lay the, you know, obituary down so that the dad's not looking at them?
Right.
Me, because he's like, I feel uncomfortable, and I would too. So I'm like, okay, like, you could have put the picture down if you really wanted it that bad. But I'm proud that Emmett was big enough to realize she's doing this out of hurt, and she actually doesn't care if she gets it from me, the boy next door. You know, she didn't care who she got it from. She just wanted it. So I was glad that he was like, let's just cuddle. So he was there for her. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
And I liked that.
I liked that, too. I mean, to keep it 100, I was hoping that eventually he would actually say, what's wrong? Do you want to talk? But that might be too much too soon.
I think he was hearing all that.
Too much. You know, like, be her friend. Actually have a conversation.
He offered the cuddle. So that was cool. That was enough for me. He probably didn't know how to talk out the problems, but offering the cuddle, that I thought that was smooth.
It was smooth. And as he mentioned, who wants, you know, my daddy died sex? And, I mean, that
just awkward. Sounds gross.
Like, that sounds disgusting. Now, and then we also see Kevin deals with his grief by reaching out to Brandon, mm-hmm. which I really thought that was really kind of a nice kind of, you know, Brandon is sort of like turning into his surrogate father figure. And those were some really good moments. And that's when finally see Kevin break down and cry.
Yeah. I want to hear your thoughts on it first.
Okay. Yeah. So I thought this was very on point, because if you notice throughout the episode, Kevin was only vulnerable with his friends as far as like the thoughts that he had when they were outside, you know, getting right. elevated.
And then exactly elevating their thoughts. We did that a lot in Los Angeles. We elevate.
Right. So they're getting elevated. So this scene with Brandon, you just kind of saw him just crack, because at no point, I don't think he's ever been vulnerable around those women. That's probably why he's so quick to just go out to the streets. Even when the mother and Keisha were arguing, he was just kind of like, okay, let me get up out of here and go to my friend. So at this point, I think the walls just crashed down. He's still a kid, regardless
right,
of how
exactly.
tough he tries to be throughout this series, watching someone get shot, everything, he's still a kid. And I think this was the only opportunity that he chose to really just be vulnerable.
Exactly.
Yeah, I really liked it too, because, you know, they had like a little conversation, but for the most part, he was just able to sit there and cry. It wasn't like, oh, are you okay? It was just like, let it out, right. and I'm going to finish your
head. He kept cutting his hair.
Yeah. Right. It was just like, wow, like that's their bonding. You know, he was able to finally release everything he had been holding back. And I was just like, this is such an amazing moment in this episode, in this season. Because like you said, he's never been able to let any of his emotions out. So for him to do it, and then with someone who's not his family, someone who's not his bro, one of his boys, I just thought that shows you how their small interaction in season one has blossomed so much.
Exactly, to really a full-blown sort of big brother relationship, which we love to see. And it's so interesting because Brandon found a way to sort of relate to him about the death of his father. And he's like, well, at least you knew your daddy,
yeah.
you know? And it's like, for whatever time, and kind of tried to get him to see it through a different light.
Right.
Because even his mom was like, I don't want you to feel bad. So everybody was kind of coming at him like, we know your relationship was messed up. And I think Brandon was the one to kind of help him see like a new way to view it, so he wouldn't be so hard on himself. And I liked that both Kevin and Keisha sort of found the person to kind of soothe them mm-hmm. in their time of grief. So let's talk about Ronnie. Okay, so I will say to anybody, like every time they're talking about the summer heat and feeling the heat, every time he went outside and was kind of hazy, I was like, please don't do a flashback. Please, God, don't let this be no flashback.
Oh my goodness.
I felt it coming.
Praise God, it was
no flashback.
No flashbacks, yes. And so first we see Ronnie going to sort of the community center. And I, you know, because sometimes in Chicago, I didn't always have air. And so there are these centers, especially because there were years in Chicago where it got so hot, people died. So, like, especially the elderly. So there are these sort of, like, heat advisories and all these things that go on with the weather. And so, you know, if you're older or, you know, if your air is out, you go to these centers. And so we see Ronnie kind of trying to be a part of the community. And in this episode, things seem to go for him a little bit better. And so he goes in to see my baby daddy. No, I'm just joking. These are just jokes, but not really. DM me, comment. Okay, so I have a picture of Ronnie and Rafiq, also known as Common. And so it's so interesting because Common is playing sort of like, you know, I love his character. And, well, I like Common, but we'll leave it there. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of see Common again encouraging Ronnie. And he's not really pushing, you know, that he needs to become a Muslim or join the Nation of Islam or anything like that. But he is trying to get him out into the community and to be of service to others, which I think is valuable for Ronnie. And so it's interesting to see because the people were sort of staring at Ronnie. But what are your thoughts, Lauren? Do you feel that is the community still totally against him, or is, as Common brought up, some of it in his own head? Like, maybe they were checking him out, trying to hook up.
Well, when I was watching it, it did kind of look like, why is he here? It didn't really look like they were checking him out. I think for the most part, they were kind of like whispering, like, shh. But, you know, it could also be like they're confused as to what everything happened, how he got out so fast, you know?
Right.
But I do think if he wants to kind of clear his name or make amends, he does need to still show up, even if he does get those looks. Fix the air, fix the pipes, fix everything, or else you're always going to be an outcast.
I agree, because to me, I'm kind of like, okay, what did you expect? You murder somebody.
Exactly.
And they're not going to innocent, welcome you and it was a child, and you got away with it, and we all know it. And you confessed to it. So it's not like you were wrongfully charged. You just got out with a loophole. So to me, you should expect to pay some penance.
Exactly.
And, I mean, luckily, nobody spit on you this week. You should be grateful for that.
Yeah, that was gross.
No, I think he was one of the ones who were feeling the heat the most with everything that he's going through. Trying to still be a positive image in the community, but you can see Rafiq is trying to make him be present. Like, look, all of this calamity that you're going through is internal. You need to actually heal. The best way for you to heal is to still give back. So it's good that he's attempting to do that, but I don't know. I think this was an episode where Ronnie could actually start healing, because we even saw at the end with the water and the engagement in the community, his little potential boo might have pulled up too.
Well, wait. But Venus thing agrees with us. She thinks that he can turn over a new leaf. He can start healing. But she said also some of it could be in his head. So he needs to get out of his head.
Yeah, a little bit, because clearly he has some sort of mental issues, we are aware. So, you know, so I think it's a cross between both. Yeah. So, I don't think my baby Kama would not make this up. So I'm sure somebody there was interested. You know, he ain't my type, but I can see that somebody could be interested. Now, that's the thing with the water scene and that whole, we've seen it a couple of times. Like, I have felt some little chemistry between Ronnie and Jada before this. But I like the fact that, you know, after her meeting with her girlfriend, after she had dinner with Emmett or whatever, she's like, okay, well, it's hot. I'm going to bring my little tatas out and go get some stuff from Ronnie's house. So I think, exactly. I think she wanted the reaction that she got.
Oh my goodness.
What are your thoughts, Lauren?
Oh, I'm not going to lie. I don't really want them to be together. It's so cliche. Like, I'm taking care of your grandmother, and now he's going to fall in love that's, you know, helping his grandmother. I'm like, that's kind of like, I want something different. And she literally said, you can't make this right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's she just kind of like forgive the fact that she said, you killed someone who was my son's age. Like, I can't forgive that. So is she going to kind of throw that out the window and now possibly see his better side?
true.
I don't know, because I feel like even if he does make amends and start going down the right path, he still is an alcoholic. He still might go crazy at one point. And then she's just going to be like, well, damn, I just slept with you or dated you, whatever.
All right. Well, Chef Beans, here's my question for you, because another show that I love to watch is Love After Lockup. And so so the question is, because I mean, I agree to some extent with Lauren as far as, to me, I don't want them to be together just fundamentally, because I'm like, well, Jada, you could do better than this person who's basically three steps away from prison. So, but on the other hand, everybody deserves a second chance. So it's kind of like, you know, in between. And to me, I mean, I'm like, she's a nurse. Nurses can make a really good bank. I mean, she can really pull herself out and do big things with her, you know, nursing and all that stuff. So it's kind of like, girl, meet you a doctor. But what are your thoughts, Chef Beans?
I wouldn't be upset if they got together. I would want more of a story, not necessarily a storyline, but
chase, maybe.
Yeah, it would just be too easy. Like, how did that just fall into place? And this is Ronnie's first day, as far as like, you know, doing something big for the community. Like, oh, look what I, but
look what I did. I got all of our water gone, and so don't catch a fire.
Look what I did at the perfect time, and you were here, and I'm walking out with. I don't know. It was just kind of forced.
This is actually a good comment. Venus said maybe the water scene was like a symbolism for cleaning, sort of like a baptism.
I agree, but I still want Jada to do better.
I do too.
But I agree with you, Venus. I love that closing scene. I love the water. That was so lovely. Okay, let's move.
That's clever.
It's very clever. Let's move on to my favorite parts. I don't know why I love Reggie and the drug dealing. In my heart, I want this to be the Wire move to Chicago. Okay, so Reggie and Detective Toussaint, kind of those two paralleling dynamics, the good and the evil. Who's good, who's evil, we really don't know. All right, so I have a picture here of Detective Toussaint when she breaks into Reggie's their stash house or whatever, where they have the drugs and the money, which who knew? That's a no-no. And she's like, take everything. What's interesting about her scene here is this is the first time that I get the thing that's like, okay, she might not be, she's not quite dirty, but she ain't no clean cup.
Oh, right. Yeah, definitely not.
You know, and so this is, and their supervisor tells her, she warns her, but she does everything her own way. So part of me was like, okay, I feel that she's trying to send Reggie a message, but I also feel like she's crossing a line. So what do you think, Chef? Can you go too far? And we know who Reggie is, so.
Well, I definitely think she crossed the line as far as punching the kid in the face. I feel like that was extra.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That is different tactics that I've heard police still do today. So I didn't really like that per se, but she's trying to apply the pressure. She's trying to apply the heat to everyone else to let y'all know, look, we're not playing. We're trying to get to the bottom of it. But to me, that was a lot of ego that did that. And I just wasn't really rocking with it.
Exactly. And it worked, though, to some extent. Like, at first, Reggie played it cool with her. But then we see, you know, Reggie sends a message through Jake, which I didn't really like.
I didn't like that either.
You know, Reggie really...
I just stuck up for him last week, and now he proving me wrong.
Exactly. Barton, when we get you in here, dude, we have some questions for you and how you doing your baby brother. So this scene I loved, which I have a picture of, Duda meeting with the head honcho.
Right.
The head pimping at Marion Prison. Pimping out, pimped out. This is prison, you all. I know it doesn't look like it because he's very comfortable, but it's prison.
He had a whole house set up in there.
He had a house set up. And this scene really made you kind of give some thought to kind of how the strings work. Because no matter how much money Duda has, how many TV commercials, how many businesses, this person, you know, big man in prison...
is still pulling the strings.
Still pulling the strings.
Everyone responds to somebody. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah. Now, I was just going to say, everyone responds to somebody, and this is where you even saw Duda paying respect. Like, how they treating you in here? You mean how I'm treating them? I just thought it was just a big depiction of power and how it works in different capacities.
Exactly. And I like that you're going to bring Crown Royal and your... accountant and leave that her there.
That was an accountant.
Remember the one that he slapped Reggie for looking at too long?
I thought she was paid help, but yes.
Well, she is paid help, but she does sometimes she counts money, sometimes she clearly does other things. And he was like, my aunt.
That was funny. Like, I was dying when I
heard that. That was very funny.
That was very funny.
I think, it shows you what money and power can do. I mean, granted, it's a TV show, but I'm sure some prisons, they get the hookup, you know?
Oh, for sure.
People with money definitely get the hookup. So, yeah, I was glad to see who he answers to. And it looks like he gave him Toussaint's business card. So it looks like he might know a way to shut her down.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. He mentioned something about throwing her a fish.
Right.
What do you guys think that means?
I think that fish was... subjective. I don't know what the fish was.
What
the fish
if it's one of his competitors?
I thought it was a competitor or whoever actually did it, because they're like, give her something that she's going to want. And if she's basically clean, I think whoever actually went in there and did the fight, they might cut them loose. That's what I kind of thought. Because it's like, give her something to get her to shut up.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is, as we know, S rolls downhill. So after Duda meets with the big man, he meets up with Reggie to kind of be like, you know, I'm tired of your rookie mistakes and all of this. And I have a picture here of when he really is going off. And he tells Reggie, okay, I'm taking it, you know, away like 2 or 3 blocks or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Reggie's like, no, you know. And it's so interesting to see Reggie on one hand be the
yes.
big man. And as you just mentioned, Chef Beans, everybody answers to somebody. And what I thought was interesting, I was really surprised by this scene, was Duda was like, you know, I could take everything from you and you would just be that man selling weed on the street. And I was like, Reggie, you should be so lucky. Because to me, I'm like, I don't see any way of getting out of this.
Yeah,
right, you're not getting out of this. No, he's not going, now you just sell weed on the street. You would be lucky to get that, is kind of what I thought. So I was like, oh, wow, really? You're going to let him just stay alive?
That was a soft approach. I thought it was going to be more aggressive than that. Like, you keep playing with me, I'm going to take your life.
But thank you. Like, I took all of your predecessors' lives.
Right. Well, you know, this is actually, because Judah's like, you keep messing up, man. You keep messing up. And he keeps giving him kind of false threats in a way. This is the first time he actually took something away.
Right.
So we see, okay, now he's not really playing. So yeah, I definitely thought the repercussions would be a little bit more strenuous. But this is the first time we actually see him follow through with something.
Exactly. And what's interesting, I would say too, is, and we're seeing these same lines with all of the characters, to me, Duda is turning into almost a father figure for Reggie.
Right.
And not no good, not no cool father, but that father that will give you the strength. Rep. And that is because he's like, oh, I'm tired of you making these dumb mistakes, calling them stupid or whatever. And the one thing, it's like, sometimes I really want to love Reggie's character. And then he goes and throws Brandon under the bus.
Oh.
He was like, oh, I got the business for you.
Yes.
And I was like, between Brandon and Jake, how many lives are you going to ruin, Reggie? That's what we want to know.
Okay, yes. So when you say father figure, yeah, because he was like, you let your little brother live here, you let him see all your dumb mistakes, and you let him see how we run our business.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I get that part. But then, yes, I want to like Reggie. I really do. But then he threw my boy Brandon under the bus, and I knew exactly who he was talking about before, you know, they even cut to it.
I mean, I'm surprised. I honestly thought this was come several episodes ago when he was like, okay, you know, you owe me or whatever. I've always thought he was going to try to run drugs for that truck. But
I did,
you know,
too.
But I was surprised in the way he decided to go with it.
Yeah. And then it's like the perfect setup, because it's like, oh, you're going to be an investor. So he'll never see it coming. And I'm just like, no, Brandon is finally getting on the right track. I want him to do good. And then I just feel like it's going to just crumble for him again.
I know.
I don't think it's necessarily going to crumble. I think that's predictions. Let me not even.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Okay, so let's save it for predictions. Well, that is basically concluding this episode, you guys. So before we leave you all, let's get some news and gossip from my girl Lauren here.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, you guys, great news. I don't know if you guys all saw, but The Chi has been renewed for a season 3.
Woo! I did see that. Yay. Woo, woo.
Yes. And then, you know how it's also called gossip. Last week, I did a little bit of dating speculation. Mm-hmm. This week, I found some more. So, Jacob Lattimore is actually dating Tiana from Empire. I've noticed because they were, like, commenting on each other's pictures. And I'm like, what's up? She went to his premiere for the next Netflix movie last summer. And then I just started scrolling. They've been commenting on a lot of each other's pictures. And guess what? Both of their shows film in Chicago.
I know. That's so cool.
So I thought that was pretty cute.
Mm-hmm. All right, you guys. As our special gossip, I'll add that we are working in the works for getting in some actual cast members. Maybe next Monday. Maybe the following Monday. We'll get back to you. But definitely tune in next Monday because they might be here.
Woo!
Woo! Okay. And now, you guys, for our special segment, Chi-Town Highlights.
Yes, yes, yes. Chi-Town Highlights. So today for our Chi-Town Highlight, we have Robert S. Abbott. He was an African-American news businessman and lawyer. Abbott studied at Claflin University, Hampton Institute, and Kent Law School in Chicago. He received his law degree in 1889 and told that he was too dark to practice law in America. Mm. He became convinced that he could defend his people in public print better than he could in the courtroom, so he took his job learning the trade as a printer from his stepfather's newspaper. He borrowed about $5 to invest at that time and created the company, which was still very present right now, Chicago Defender.
Oh, yes. The Chicago Defender is still where
we're on May 5th, 1905. The slogan for it was, American race prejudice must be destroyed. He started off selling about 300 copies, going to different barbershops, stores, pool rooms, to eventually being able to sell it nationally. And he made his first profit after 15 years. So this picture is actually from the Great Migration, which aided people from the South, people primarily of color, to transition up into Chicago for better job opportunities and potentially less oppression. Other articles that we have from the Chicago Defender, when they portray, you know, Martin Luther King being murdered, but also the death of Emmett Till.
Oh, right.
Yes, the death of Emmett Till being that it was in Chicago. So the Chicago Defender is still very active right now, online platform, but he was the first Black entrepreneur to portray our voice in the media.
Exactly. And just to correct, what he meant was Emmett Till is from Chicago, yes, and he traveled down south where he was murdered.
Yeah.
And he was eventually buried in Chicago. All right, you guys, thank you so much. Oh, wait a minute. Time out. Oh, so much to do. We got to do predictions in the house. All right, rapid fire, guys.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Let's start with Chef Beans.
Yes, so my predictions is that Brandon is going to get into some mess with Duda, but I think he's going to be triumphant at the end of it.
Yeah, I think the Duda stuff won't blow up right away. I think it'll be closer to the end of the season. But if you guys saw on previews for next week's episode, it looks like Brandon and Jerrica are going to get into some more thing. Honestly, at this point, I wouldn't be sad if they broke up. I feel like they should just go their own way, and Brandon really needs to focus on himself and building his career, because Jerrica has her family with her money. But anyways, I feel like since Kevin got his breakthrough, I feel like he's going to be a better, I don't say better friend, but he's going to be more present with his friends.
Okay, so my predictions are, I do feel like Kevin is going to be more present and a stronger presence with his friends, he and Jake are going to go toe-to-toe, and that's probably going to, that friendship, I think, is going to fall. As we noticed, I still feel like gentrification is behind it, and, Duda talked about the real estate, so I think that's going to come to a head. I think they are going to turn someone in, like a real person in, for Miss Ethel's attack. And I actually do feel like Brandon's going to get some problems. But what I kind of wonder is Emmett going to see it coming first? Because I feel like somebody's going to have to see that Duda's not this great guy, and that person eventually will be taken out. Will it be Emmett?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I am your host, Erica Edwards, and you can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards. And you guys, where can they find you?
My name is Lauren. Once again, you can find me on all social media at Lauren the Truth.
And my name is Chef Beans. You can find me at Chef_Beans with a Z on all social media platforms.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to like, subscribe, give us a thumbs up because you've been here this long. Why not? And tune in next week because I think we're going to have a surprise for you. Woo. All right, you guys, great time.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Ciao for now, folks.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.